And Joan, welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing, available 24/7 at ianmasters.com. And joining us now is Asha Rangappa, who's an Associate Dean at Yale Law School, who teaches national security law and related courses at Wesleyan University, the Jackson Institute for Global Affairs at Yale University, and the University of New Haven. Previously, she served as a special agent at the FBI's Federal Bureau of Investigation, specializing in counterintelligence investigation in New York City, and now is a political analyst at CNN. Welcome to Background Briefing, Asha Rangappa.
Thank you.
And Asha, I've just been handed an article by you, What's in Flynn's Plea Deal Shouldn't Scare the White House, What Isn't Should. And I want to talk to you, obviously, about this flurry of criticism of the FBI that Trump is tweeting out today. But in the context of the article that I was just handed, it does seem that usually lying to the FBI, which is what they also got Mueller, got Papadopoulos on, isn't that, if the way to look at it is, if you want somebody to cooperate with you and flip and name people further up the food chain, you don't hit them with all the stuff you've got on them. You hit them with something, at the low end of the scale that's basically says, we own you and you're not going to go to a jail for the rest of your life, but we have to nail you on something. Is that how the system works?
Sort of. Not quite. So you do hit them with everything you've got. What you say is, here's what we can charge you and convict you with because we have the evidence. And in Flynn's case, he had lied to the FBI. We know that he had failed to register as a foreign agent, which there's a law in the United States called the Foreign Agent Registration Act. That carries a penalty of 5 years, and each count of lying to the FBI carries a penalty of 5 years. He was also alleged to have been plotting to kidnap a Turkish opposition leader and deliver on American soil and deliver that person to Turkey. That's a crime that carries a penalty of 20 years in prison. So Flynn may have been looking at a potential sentence of 30 years or more. And so what Mueller would have said is, look, this is what I've got, but if you cooperate, I'll reduce this to just one count of lying to the FBI, and I'll recommend that you only serve 0 to 6 months in prison. What do you think? And so, that's going to be a pretty, Flynn is going to think very hard about that. And importantly, Mueller isn't going to make that offer in the first place unless he believes that Flynn can give him some very important and significant information that will take him higher up the chain than Flynn himself. And Flynn was pretty high. He was a national security advisor. So there's not much higher you can go. There's only a few people left.
Well, let's turn to this flurry of criticism being tweeted out by Donald Trump today against the FBI. I think it's based upon a revelation that the special counsel Robert Mueller fired an FBI agent some time back because he had tweeted or made a remark or written something critical of Trump. And any reasonable person would assume that speaks well of Mueller, that he wants unbiased investigators. And you would think that since the guy was fired for making an anti-Trump comment, that Trump would be pleased with that. But no, he's turned it into a great conspiracy against him, and somehow saying that this FBI agent is also involved in the Clinton cover-up. So what do you make of that? And of course, the other tweet, let me just read it to you briefly. After years of Comey with the phony and dishonest Clinton investigation and more running the FBI, its reputation is in tatters, worst in history. But fear not, we will bring it back to greatness. Go ahead.
Well, I think you can always tell how nervous the president is getting by how crazy his tweets are. So, he's trying to discredit the FBI, obviously, because the FBI is going to be, and of course the prosecutors and Mueller's team are going to be the ones that will bring further charges. And as I said, they are creeping, like Burnham Wood, very close to the very top of the White House at this point. I agree with you, Ian, that when you look at Mueller, that he took someone off of his team immediately who could even present the perception of bias. That suggests that he is vigilant about that. He wants this investigation to be unbiased. He wants it to be untainted by allegations of bias, and he took steps swiftly to do that. And it's interesting because Mueller actually was appointed as director by the FBI by a Republican president. He was appointed by George W. Bush right after 9/11, or actually right before 9/11, and he is the longest-serving FBI director since J. Edgar Hoover. He served under Obama as well. His appointment was extended. So this is someone who has a lot of credibility, a lot of trust. He is a conservative. He himself is not, you can't accuse him of being out to get Trump for ideological reasons. So all I can conclude is that this is an attempt to delegitimize Mueller and his team so as to cast doubt on any further charges that are forthcoming.
Let's talk about the role of FBI counterintelligence, which is central to what we've learned about the Flynn plea and the revelation that he's cooperating with the special counsel. Sally Yates talked about it in her testimony. She was very circumspect because it was all classified, but she went to the White House to basically warn them that Flynn could be compromised by the Russians. That data that she had, or those intercepts that she had, clearly came from FBI counterintelligence. Also, the role of this fellow MBZ, who is one of the leaders of the Emirates, who's apparently his ambassador in Washington, is very influential. He showed up here unannounced, didn't go through the regular channels. He was apparently somebody that when the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee tried to scuttle the House investigation, which I think he's largely done, he ran off to the White House and talked about unmasking, and they were trying to shift the subject away from Trump's culpability to the idea that Obama was and Susan Rice were illegally unmasking people. I understand that that was who they were unmasking. So what do you know about it seems to me that the FBI counterintelligence is central in the evidence that we have so far, irrespective of the New York Times revelation of these emails.
Right. So it's going to be very central. This is primarily a counterintelligence investigation. So Mueller is trying to find out what the Russians did, how they did it, who they did it with. Now, most of that information is going to be gleaned through sensitive methods and sources. So it could be human sources from the CIA, it could be signals intelligence, it could be electronic surveillance that top secret electronic surveillance that the FBI is conducting. So part of what Mueller's challenge is in terms of making a criminal case, when he encounters activity from the counterintelligence investigation that are violations of criminal law, he really has to build that case through separate channels. So, for example, even if he has recordings of, or sources who've revealed, that members of the campaign have done X or Y, what he really wants is to be able to bring a person who can testify on the stand in a court of law. And that's, typically you just don't, it's a long process to declassify these things and to make it admissible in court, because then the defense has to know where it came from, and the government may not want to reveal that. So that's why someone like Flynn is really important to Mueller. He was very high up in the administration. He was also very high up in the campaign and the transition. So he's had a bird's eye view of what everyone was doing. And his plea deal reveals that he was actually coordinating with people in the transition and campaign in making his contacts with Russia. He wasn't just doing this on his own. And so that's what makes him really valuable for Mueller, because he is a human being who can provide, fresh testimony that doesn't have to go back to this classified sources in this counterintelligence investigation. It can help him make his own criminal case.
But just in the last couple of minutes, when you look at the timeline, in terms of this critical period in the transition. And of course, it's so striking what KT McFarland said in an email to all of the top people in the Trump transition team, saying that that Trump should pay back the Russians by easing sanctions because Russia, quote, had just thrown the USA election to him. But just to go through some of the timeline, it's so extraordinary that Sally Yates is fired the day after Trump invites Comey to the White House for a dinner that made Comey very uncomfortable, which he testified about. And the next day, Sally Yates gets fired. And then the day after Flynn is fired, Comey has that other meeting with Trump at which he shoved everybody out of the room, including the attorney general, having Comey alone, sort of apparently leaned on him, tried to get him to go easy on Flynn. So it's pretty hard not to see a connection there, isn't it, with the Trump's activities and then the idea that he wants the head of the FBI to basically, you know, go ahead and quash the whole thing. It's clear to me that he's trying to contain the story and contain the damage, and he sees first Sally Yates as a wild card that he doesn't control, and then Comey as somebody that he needs to control.
Well, I think that's definitely the inference. I will just point out that Sally Yates at that time had issued a public statement that she was not going to direct the Justice Department to enforce Trump's travel ban,
right,
which had been issued that day. And so while you may be right that perhaps her knowledge of Flynn could have been a driving factor in him wanting to get rid of her, her firing came almost immediately, I think within minutes of her making that public statement. So I would probably link it more directly to that. So, but in terms of the timeline with Comey and Flynn's firing, I think that's right. He fired Flynn, and Trump fired Flynn, and then the next day had a dinner with Comey where he asked Comey to lay off on the investigation. Now, inferences aren't something that is going to meet the threshold in a court of law of beyond a reasonable doubt. You actually have to have proof. And so what Mueller needs to show is that Trump knew at the time that he both spoke with Comey and asked him to lay off the investigation, and at the time that he fired Comey, that he knew of what Flynn was up to, that he knew that he was having these contacts with Russia. He knew he was lying to the FBI. He knew he was coordinating all of these things with his own campaign. If he has that knowledge at the time that he's making these requests to Comey and then he subsequently fires him, that is what establishes the intent in for obstruction of justice. You have to show that the person acted with corrupt intent, and that's what you would need to show. And of course, it's hard to look into somebody's heart, so you have to use some of these circumstantial pieces of evidence. But if Flynn can provide Mueller with some insight into how much Trump knew about what he was doing, that will significantly strengthen Mueller's obstruction of justice case against the president.
Well, Asha Rangappara, I thank you very much for joining us here today.
Thank you.
And again, I've been speaking with Asha Rangappara, who's an associate dean at Yale Law School, who teaches national security law and related courses at Wesleyan University, the Jackson Institute for Global Affairs at Yale University, and the University of New Haven. And previously, she served as a special agent at the Federal Bureau of Investigation, specializing in counterintelligence investigations, and is now a political analyst at CNN. And she has an article at the Washington Post, What's in Flynn's Plea Deal Shouldn't Scare the White House, What Isn't Should. And we're going to take a brief station break. We're back looking into the extent to which the so-called tax reform bill is a massive reward to the donors and will further embed and enrich an American oligarchy.